We are here today, this morning, thinking that we would talk to you about the flax plant and how the developing or processing of flax has some symbolic references and implications with the new creature. And you can see our subtitle there, The Making of Immortals. And you may, brethren, a few years ago, we were here in Chicago, and we gave a discourse on the coverings of the tabernacle. And it was noted that, you know, the outer covering of the seal skin, or the dugong, and then we had the ram skin dyed red. And then we had the woven curtain, the goat's hair curtain was a woven. And finally, we get to that linen curtain. It's not made from an animal at all. And as we looked at this, in considering this covering, it was so interesting that we felt, you know, it made us pause. And we were thinking that as the church, I'm sorry, I'm get my notes here. That as we looked at this flax plant and see how the linen is processed, that there was some striking resemblances between the development of the church and the flax. And we thought, did the Heavenly Father create a plant that would show and be as a source of food, that it would be could be used as medicine, lighting lamps, and even using as measuring tape, and clothing for the whole world? Is it possible that he desired to show that there were those that he loved who would be making this consecration, making a sacrifice for the opportunity, part of the church, the bride, the Christ head and body, that he developed this plant that would show this? Well, we're going to let you decide. But as we can, you know, it's been talked about in the opening here on devotions, that we're in a time here of testing and of trial. And as we're in the end of the age, we can see how wily the adversary is and the confounding and the confusion that is going on. And I often think, wouldn't it have been nice if we can wake up in the morning and look out the window and see a pillar of fire or see a cloud right out your window? Oh, the Lord's with me today. I have nothing to worry about. But we do have the precious promises. Yes, all your casting all on him, he careth for you, 1 Peter 5:7. And I know our Lord told us in Luke 12:32, don't fear, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. As we cast all on him, he knows our weaknesses, that we are dust, Psalm 103:14. And our enemies are dust, therefore, and he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you're no longer servants, but sons. And since you are his children, God has made you an heir through Jesus Christ, Galatians 4:6-7. So nothing can happen that he doesn't know about. The very hairs in your head are numbered of God, Matthew 10:31. So we wanted to set this stage here in this tone that it is going to be a process. And we're told in Exodus 35:25, is that the women who were skilled in sewing and spinning prepared blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen cloth. And so too, the bride of Christ has been given the pattern to follow by the one who brought immortality to light, Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 1:9-10. So it will be a process of following and using the pattern of our Lord to create this beautiful embroidery and developing the character likeness of our Lord Jesus. Because the bride has to be proven and tested and made ready. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought, and they shall enter in to the king's palace. And the symbolic pattern that we're following, we think, is shown in that linen curtain. And we're told in Exodus 26:1 that thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains, a fine twined linen, a blue and purple and scarlet, with cherubim, the work of the skillful workman, shalt thou make them. And Brother Russell explains in Tabernacle Shadows that the fine linen is the symbol of righteousness, and that the blue is a symbol of faithfulness, and purple a symbol of royalty, and scarlet the symbol of the blood of the ransom. And with cherubim, it's a symbol of divine love and power. All of these things are being that need to be developed, and then together they'll form a most beautiful finished product that will be to the glory of the Heavenly Father in each one individually. You know, linen shows the divine immortality, everlasting. And as the prophets of God, they wore the woven hairy garments. The priests of God wore linen, a garment that was not made from flesh at all. Leviticus 6:10, 16:4, and 32, and Exodus 39:27. This was created out of the earth. The priests were clothed by God. You know, there was linen that was found dating back to B.C. 1961. And it was been found in nearly perfect condition. So we thought, what a better way could the Heavenly Father have shown immortality by using a fabric that lasts for generations and generations. Linen was often an heirloom. But we're looking at this, and I'm told that even linen over time, they get softer and they get better. But I think this was the Lord's intention. In the consecration of the priesthood, we note that the clothing was all supplied by Moses, and he represents our Heavenly Father. He provided all. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron, Hebrews 5:4. And he that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And as we look at the natural plant, and we're going to be, hopefully we're going to be drawing in the natural pictures here, and you can see the symbols. I'm sure that hopefully that you'll get these pictures from the natural for the symbolic. But the flax plant stood normally about 3 feet to 4 feet. It grows, and there's a beautiful blue flower at the top of it, and they grow straight up. About 60% of the flax crops are actually in Canada. You know, it's been grown all over the world, but right now that's where generally it is. And when you drive past the flax field with these beautiful blue flowers, it looks like you're going by a lake or water, and it covers the hills, and it's such a beautiful presentation. And when I thought about this blue, and I thought about how in the kingdom that the Spirit and the Bride will say, "Come," and let him that is heareth say, "Come," and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And we know that water is a symbol of truth, and the invitation is to accept or partake of the favor of everlasting life through obedience to the truth. But first, for this to happen, there is a proving time and making ready for those that would wear this linen, as we talked about earlier, and become part of that higher priesthood of the Melchizedek order, a king and priest with our Lord Jesus to bless the earth. And when flax is being processed, as you can see, it goes from that beautiful field flowering, it needs to be taken up and harvested, and then it's dried. A very important process of it. And then it's submerged into water, and then it's dried again. And that's accompanied by using a heckling device to break up the outer stalk. And then there's a scutching and combing, which helps to separate and clean the fibers from the stalk. And finally, there's heat applied, and the yarn is polished, and it's made ready. A unique thing about the uprooting, the plant needs to be uprooted. That's how it starts. It has to be taken out of the ground. It has to die to be useful. Now, we're going to look at this from the literal dying aspect and the symbolic. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6, 3 and 4. There's a new standard given, because we know that, for ye are not carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? 1 Corinthians 3:3. Now this I say to you, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. The Lord is dealing with the new mind. The old man is dead on the altar, dying daily. But true, until the physical death, the birth of the new creature cannot happen. So our experiences will be in putting off the flesh and growing the new mind. So as we're seeing this process begins, in order for all these benefits and usefulness to come, the plant must die. But those of the flax class have to be harvested. And until then, there's no value to the world. But they will be needed for recovering the world when refined and finished. So the first step that happens is that the linen, the flax has to be taken out and dried. And this goes way back. This processing goes way back to the earliest of times. And it's had its widespread use. And really, where it began, it's not really known. Who invented it and how it, but it was used for medicine and clothing long ago. It's been found in the tombs of pharaohs in Egypt. And the linen was used for burial clothing. And the Bible accounts shows that Joseph also in Egypt he wore fine linen garments. And the flax was so important to Egypt during the time of Moses that the Bible records its destruction during the plagues of hail, along with the essential crops. You know, the Persian Empire, as recorded in Esther chapter 1 and 8, used linen for decor and garments. And even at the time of the prophet Ezekiel, fine linen was still being exported from Egypt and also Syria. That's from Ezekiel 27. Flax was an extremely important crop. In fact, so important that the prophets mention its destruction when listing all the staple items of wool and bread and oil in Isaiah 19, 19, 42, 3, Hosea 2, 9, and Matthew 12, 20 also goes back and quotes 42:3, Isaiah 42:3. And as this flax is drying, the importance of getting it so dry, and we'll get to why that's critical. But we remember, taking back to when Rahab, remember she hid the spies. So you can get an idea from this little bit of flax that's there, that it's abundant, and it's long, and there's a lot of it. And so she was able to easily cover them, or she was drying this flax out on her roof, as we know. And it was a nice covering. So once the flax is dried, it's put into water because it has to be softened now. And the whole idea is to get rid of this outer stalk. It's submerged in water and typically running water. Boards were placed upon it or stones to keep it from washing away. And while this water's working on it, there's microorganisms as well at work, and it causes the woody part of the stalk to rot and free the fibers. The scriptures tell us that water is symbolic of truth, the word of God, Ephesians 5:26. Water can represent people. You know, we know about the restless masses in Luke 21:25. The Lord uses both of these to develop his church, to make the bride ready. The bride's to be cleansed and made fit for joint heirship with the Heavenly Father and for the bridegroom, with the bridegroom. And this cleansing is in process now. The object of the church's submission to Christ is for the sanctification and cleansing of the church. The word of truth cleanses our hearts and shows us our imperfections. The church, as a betrothed virgin, is under strict obligations to purity and faithfulness. This is the new guidelines that we're under, no longer under the earthly way of doing things. There's a higher standard now. And these things are brought to bear on the new creature, the worldly influences and the importance of studying the truth and knowing it and being assured by it, and then letting those the world have its effect upon the old nature. So as the microorganisms are working on this rotting away, what they're trying to free up and get to are those fibers that are in the inside. That's what will become the yarn that's spun. This outer stalk has to be taken away. The goal is to free up the fibers, and that's their golden ingredient that will be spun into the linen yarn. We have a little video here that kind of shows this. And then once it's been dried and wet, it's put out to dry again. And you can see those are what the fibers look like when he breaks away the stalk. But in order to get them out, he uses a heckling tool. And this tool is, let me zoom that in a little bit for you. This heckling tool is not designed to break the fibers, but just to break the stalk away from the outside. Can you picture something like that being used in the ancient days? It's not a very complex, It's not a very complex instrument, but it does the job. And I'm sure you can think of some spiritual applications for that use. The next step, as we mentioned, was this, it's called scutching. And they use this hard wooden tool that will then get the rest of the stalks away. And then there's these various nail board that's used. It's a bed of nails. And you can see there's a couple of different ones there. There's ones that are closer together and some that have a lot more. And the whole idea is to get, you see those fibers that were gotten rid of, those smaller ones, those are not the perfect ones. So we want to have this perfect, beautiful, long fibers that are nice and clean, strong, and ready to be made into the finest of linen. And as we looked at some of these, the process here, you can see the scutching and the combing and the heckling. You know, we're thinking about some of the sufferings that might be common to mankind that's important for the development of the new creature. Take heed lest ye fall. There hath no temptations taken you, but such as in common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. But with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The energy necessary to such resistance of evil would tend to develop character which God desires each of the members of his flock to have. But he would have them learn to trust him, to exercise faith and obedience and vigilance and resistance of evil, to resist and to overcome. And through these trials, without that faith, we understand it won't be possible. But we have to be able to withstand these things, to be strong and very courageous. It's not the Lord's intention that trying experience should crush the new creation, but that endeavoring to resist the adversary and every evil shall make us stronger. Reprint 5902 and 5764. So what are some of these hecklings that we might have that are practical, that are in the daily world? Well, we have a lot of combative people out there that we have to deal with in our everyday life and in business. And, you know, there's a lot of road rage out there today that we have to contend with. And, you know, it's amazing how I could be listening to a beautiful talk on the radio, on my phone, listening to the speakers, and someone will cut you off. And all of a sudden, that hot mountaintop, you change, and you're ready to go. And I remember there was a brother riding with Brother Bob Gray, and it a similar situation happened to him. And the brother goes, "Did you see that?" And Brother Bob goes, "Let them have it. It's their world." I thought that was a wonderful response. But, you know, as we're in the workplace, there's a lot more collaboration that's going on. You know, it's not like the boss, "Come here, do this." It's more of these committees I've seen in the way of doing business. And, you know, it could be very difficult dealing with different personalities. And then you got some that, la, 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 they don't want to hear anything you have to say. And even in retail or in the hospitals, right, and dealing with people, and especially in the hospital, they're not at their best. They're not feeling too well. But you can have some very explosive personalities. These are things that must be gone through to soften that. You know, just like our manna today, we don't want to be on Satan's team. We want to resist those things. We're under a higher standard. And the biggest thing today, I think, we're going to may have to be taking sides here in this political situation between the Palestine and Israel situation. We have to speak the truth no matter what. So it comes to bear on all different sides. These are some of the things that we, in our real life, I think we'd have to experience that kind of goes along with that heckling and calming process. But we're expected to be patient and patient continuance in well-doing, Romans 2:7. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life, patiently persevering, cultivating, and developing the character likeness of our Redeemer, by patient development of Christ-like character and meekness, gentleness, patience, and love. I go back to, I don't know how clear this picture is, but you know, you remember the scene where Paul and Silas had been beaten? They were in the prison, they were starved. This jailer didn't treat them very well. And everything shook and the doors were open. And you know, in that time period, the buck stopped with the guard who was in charge of the prisoners. And he was ready. He thought that they all escaped. And they could even, Paul and Silas could have even kept quiet, let him think that they were gone. Because the end result was he was going to kill himself. And Paul and Silas, they yelled out, "Stop, we're still here." And what do you think happened? Didn't he want to know? What God is it that they worship? And he took them to his home, he fed them, the whole family heard about it, and he consecrated to the Lord. What a beautiful of time where Paul and Silas, they sang hymns, we're told. They were rejoicing in hope. They were patient in tribulation. And they were instant in prayer. Romans 12 tells the Heavenly Father arranged for this, and they dealt with it. Brother Russell's comment, he says, here is an important part of the great battle of the Christian's life. He must fight the natural tendencies of the old nature and confidently anticipate the victory of the strength of the great captain of his salvation. He must not succumb to the flattering and deceptive influences of prosperity, nor faint under the burdens of adversity. He must not allow the trials of life to sour and harden his disposition, to make him morose or surly or bitter or unkind, nor may he allow pride or ostentation of self-righteousness to grow and feed upon the temporal good things, which the Lord's providence has granted him to test his faithfulness as a steward. Another good lesson for us is from Stephen. What an example he was. He was totally devoted to the Lord, and he had that Christ-like character. And with patience before his accusers, while being stoned, he rejoiced in the promises, and he was instant in prayer. And while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then he fell upon his knees and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Having said this, he fell asleep. I like to think the Lord allowed that last stone to finish his test and put him out without any more pain. But can you imagine to realize to be in this type of situation that he was in, that his thought was for those that were, he knew Satan was influencing them, but he totally trusted the Lord. What a wonderful demonstration of faith. So, bucked up, submerged, heckled, and scutched, brethren, this is the way we should go. Though the Lord gave you adversity for food and suffering for drink, he will still be with you to teach you. You will see your teacher with you, your own eyes, your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, the voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether it's to the right or to the left, Isaiah 30, 20 to 22. It's a consistent reminder that God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. Psalms 46, 1 to 3. Brethren, Instead of saying, why me, when things are happening to us that might be adverse, may we say, why not me? After all, this is from the Lord. He's arranged for our experiences. He's personalized them. Think about that. Personalize them for each one's individual development. So we see that through this process is to come out, prepare such the silky fibers to made into such a fine linen that the priests would wear, and how critical that is. And in this process of the plant, aside from this outer husk that has to be dealt with and yarn made, all the different parts of the plant are used. So we need to talk about the fruit of the plant and its symbolism next. And the fruit of the flax plant is the seeds. The seeds are developed over 40 days after pollinization. They are grown in a sack called the boll. And so let's go back. We talked about that plucking up. And first we applied the symbolic death and baptism. And when we look at the fruits of the Spirit here, we're discussing these things, that the fruit, before the fruit can be developed, before the plant can die, the fruit has to be ready. It has to be developed already. And then it's ready to be plucked up. The seeds are helpful. They're a healthy fat. They're antioxidants, and they're full of fiber. A person can eat it to boost their health. The seeds are copper in color, and they can be ground into powder or pressed into bring out the oil. We notice the color of the seeds. It's a copper color. And doesn't that represent justified humanity? So the seeds represent the fruits of the Spirit developed while in the flesh. This is the acceptable time. Now is the development is when we are in the flesh for 40 days of seed germination. It compares with the new creature's time of testing and proving while in the flesh on this side of the veil to develop that spiritual fruitage and Christ-likeness necessary to be made ready for the kingdom. These seeds can be eaten as food, powdered to make bread, squeezed to make oil that is good for moisturizing the skin, it preserves wood, and it even is used to light lamps, lighting the way for the world, the oil of gladness, and the healing balm for the nations, nourishing seed and replenishing food for all mankind. Some of the healing oil symbolic of the kingdom cures. We think that there's the benefits to the heart. And we are thinking as the kingdom picture, the people's hearts have to turn from stone to flesh, from Ezekiel 36:26. A condition that happens to many as we get a little older, they get the dry eye syndrome. And the oil and the seeds are good for that. And in the kingdom, we know that every eye will then see, will have that understanding, will have that pure language, be able to see our Lord, Revelation 1:7. And the flax seed has also been known to help prevent some cancers and arthritis, maintain hormonal balances. And we know the whole Isaiah 35, the highway of holiness and the development, people are going to jump like a lark. There are going to be cures through their whole physical body. Everything will change. What a wonderful blessing and a privilege that will be. One of the things we talked about with the flax plant, it's about 3 to 4 feet tall, and it stands straight up. It doesn't bow, it doesn't bend. And we thought about this, that firm foundation that we have of our Lord Jesus, right? That we stand upon that, the ransom and restitution of all things. And at the end, the top is that beautiful blue flower. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 10:22. And let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to our Lord Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 10, 1 to 2. So these are things, brethren, that being assured what the Father has said and the message and the plan that he's given us, that it's for a purpose and he is there. And we're supposed to be doing something. And if we have that faith, we're told to be doing. And one of the things we're supposed to do is good to all men, especially to the household of faith. Galatians 6:10. We've received the anointing to bring us into understanding and fellowship with the Lord, joint heirs if we suffer with him that we might reign with him, the privilege to fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ, the sufferings of Christ, that we know that we will be like him as he is at his appearing, sharing his glory, honor, and immortality. That's a promise. That's an assurance. So we know that. So we have this deep, intimate relationship with the Father, and therefore, we must develop that same closeness with one another of like precious faith. We are to be the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. So therefore, we are to use our different gifts according with the grace that God has given us. If our gifts is to speak God's message, we should do it according to the faith that we have. If it's to serve, we should serve. If it's to teach, we should teach. If it's to encourage others, we should do so. Whoever shares with others should do it generously. Whoever has authority should work hard, and whoever shows kindness to others should do it cheerfully. These are things that must be demonstrated. One of the biggest sacrifices is for one another, the washing one another's feet, to lifting. Now, I think that was a good way to show a burden, isn't it? That's a pretty big burden the guy has riding a bike with all that on there. So there's always something we can do. We know there's a couple of different burdens. There's the burden that we bear to make our own calling election sure, and then there's the burdens that our fellow race course runners are having that we can certainly help them. And this is part of the finishing process. And, you know, the goal is to produce the finest linen that lasts forever, that glory, honor, and immortality. And, you know, when we first consecrate, we see things that, oh, this is bad. This is not good. And they're like low-hanging fruit, and we can get those out of the way right away. But as we're on the way, and there's different experiences that we have, we may not see these things. It might not be so readily available. So David says in Psalm 19, 12 and 13, he said, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." And as we think about the master weaver, when these linen is coming out, they have to go back and look for the imperfections to fix those things and to remove the smallest defects. You know, there will not be found in any of the bride any unrighteousness at all. Brethren, remember the promise, Isaiah 42:3, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." You know, the Lord will fan that smoldering faith. If we're beaten down or we have these experiences, as long as the faith is there and we don't give up, the Lord will fan that faith into a roaring flame. We talked about the fat of that bullock burning and how fervently it burned in fire. Our heart must truly be seeking the kingdom. Remember the promise? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and the rest will be supplied unto you. Any blemishes will render the linen unfit for the temple. And it's at this time that we need to be thinking about these things and looking to know what the standard is. One thing we haven't talked, we mentioned a bit about the flower, but we want to talk a little bit about it. Maybe I can make that a little bit bigger for you. There are 5 petals on this flower that's atop the flax plant. It's blue, And there is, you can't really tell from this picture, but there is, in towards the interior, some purple. And then finally we see that gold. So we see the blue and the faithfulness. We see some of the purple, the royalty. And finally the gold, that crowning life. You know, temptations and besetments of this present evil world arise from the three sources of temptation: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And only as we cultivate these spirits, the fruits of the Spirit, that we'll be able to fight against them. And you know, we want to first, before we continue on, let's just make a reference here. When you see the number 5 in Scripture, we found in many instances there's an indication towards the new creation. As you walk into the holy, there are 5 pillars. You know, the boards that surround the tabernacle are kept in place by 5 rods, 2 on each side and 1 in the back. We know that David, before he went to Goliath, he went to the brook and he took out 5 stones. And again, we saw running water in that picture, smoothing out those stones, making them quite a weapon. And won't the church be a weapon used with our Lord Jesus to smite evil and sin? What a beautiful picture that is. So the importance that we have in developing, we can get this back to meekness, patience, gentleness, brotherly kindness and love. And we only wait, can we hope to be specially helpful to others in putting on these adornments of character and purifying purities of life, and to get rid of the defilements of the world and the flesh. Reprint 22:01. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:8. The church will stand in her reward and her own righteousness. Let us rejoice and be exceedingly glad, and let us give glory unto him. For the marriage of the bride is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And it was given to her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure. For fine linen is the righteousness acts of the saints. Revelation 19:7-8. It's the conquerors that will wear the garments of victory. Revelation 19:14. And their names never to be blotted out from the book of life. Revelations 3:4-5. The righteousness to which she is called. And the garment, it reflects the effects that were gained by all these different experiences this side the veil. And the Lord, it does not express any of the sufferings. Those are things are gone and those are past. There's no more focus on the afflictions. And if our hearts and attitude are in the right direction, as Paul and Silas, as Stephen, how can they possibly compare these sufferings with any of the glory that the Lord has promised? He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. It helps the other part grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Ephesians 4:16. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. Revelation 21:2-3. Those belonging to the spiritual realm are going to administer that new covenant. They're going to serve the earthly. You know, there's that beautiful picture of, and Obadiah tells us that Savior shall come down upon Mount Zion to judge the mountain of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. We are being trained up in obedience, because those that will ultimately be the masters to condemn and squash disobedience. He that believes on me, as the scripture hath said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. Brethren, we hope that walking through this process here with you of the flax plant, there were some similarities from the natural processing to the development of the new creature that you may find helpful. And to know that the Heavenly Father is there with us and perhaps has prepared this plant to let us know that I've thought of you way back when I formed my plan from the foundation of the earth. Wax is harvested after it's fully developed. Christ-like character and the image of our Lord to take his name. And having done all, standing to be proven, tested for faithfulness and loyalty. We must be courageous, submerged and heckled and scutched and heated to remove the outer layer, the flesh, that old man. We're exhorted not to be boastful, but humble-minded, realizing our own powerlessness and need of God. Indeed, unless humble-minded, we cannot be pleasing to the Lord. No power in the universe is able to cope with our God. And he has declared that he is the support and shield of his children. He is the strong tower of those who put their trust in him. Brethren, to God be the glory. May the Lord add his blessing.